This is ground control to Major Tom. Are you Major Tom?
Yeah, because I do have an emergency tum. Should I have any sort of stomach disaster, I have one tum. I guess you can buy them in packs, but I just chose to just purchase the one. Not good thinking, huh? Lucianne Walkowitz joins us right now to shake her head and wonder why she'd bother coming by the studio.
Why do you come here?
I would never come here if I were you.
Well, you know, I learn something new every time. I never realized that Bowie song was about gastrointestinal distress.
It is. Nobody knew that but us. Now everyone knows. Astrophysicist, Adler astronomer, artist, guitarist for Ditch Club. We've never discussed that with you.
I guess not.
Your musical background is phenomenal.
I'm not sure anyone else would describe it that way, but
we listen to it. I like it.
To your band, Ditch Club. Is it okay to play a minute or two?
Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
All right, let's play just a little bit of Lucianne's band, Ditch Club.
This is you on guitar? It's me and the other guitarist in the band.
Who's singing?
Me.
I can't believe... I'm embarrassed to fall into the whole world of sexism, but I have a 16-year-old son who's a musician. And, you know, the rumor around here is that you're this hot scientist, which you are, according to Business Insider, 13th hottest, but although we've got to get
you out there.
You should be higher. For all hot scientists needs. Right.
So I was mentioning something to my 16-year-old son, Michael, about, Lucianne Walkowitz is coming in. She's our hot scientist friend. And he goes, oh, really? Let me see. So I show a picture of him, of you to him.
That
he
Wendy
goes,
had in her wallet.
She's a scientist like that. And I said, she's also a rocker. And yeah. So we were listening to your music, and he's very enthralled and enchanted. And it's really cool to have a smart woman who rocks and has a big brain.
Well, you'd be surprised. Astronomers are more diverse than you think. I think everybody in the world seems to think that we all look like Christopher Lloyd in Back to the Future, you know, like a lab coat, like crazy hair.
Right.
Or sometimes Einstein is like the icon of a scientist.
Sure.
Right? But actually, the face of science is pretty diverse and getting more so
Could
all the time.
Could be anybody. Yeah. You don't know. But do a lot of them also have their own bands? I bet that doesn't happen very often, does it?
It does sometimes, actually. Yeah? A lot of astronomers, a lot of scientists generally have musical backgrounds. Music and math
right.
skills tend to go hand in hand.
Yes. Carl Sagan was with the Doors for several years. People don't know.
Not.
Yeah, he was the lead singer for the Doors until Jim Morrison said, we can't have this.
They just had similar fashion sense.
Right.
Jim Morrison was very smart, by the way.
I know.
I'll have you know.
Oh, I know that. I definitely.
He would have been jealous of Carl Sagan jumping in on it.
Right. There's so many stories from the world of astronomy that we would like to talk to you about, and one of them is we just found this planet, and I'm sure the planet has been around for a long, long time, but we just found the story, and they talk about what a horrendous planet this would be to be on, that it's made up mostly of molten lava.
Yeah, this is a really cool new discovery. This is a system of planets. It's actually five planets around a star called 55 Cancri, mm-hmm. Which means that it's a star in the Cancer constellation. Mm. And
sorry to hear that, by the way.
Jeez. Oy. Anyway, so this is a multiple planet system, and this particular planet orbits so close to its star that it goes around every 18 hours. That means its year is 18 hours long. So it's this rock that is a little bit bigger than the Earth and absolutely roasting. We're talking the night side itself is like 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit. The day side, the side that's facing the star, is something over 4,000 degrees
Fahrenheit.
And
a year would be 18 hours, which means their New Year's Rockin' Eve would have to be planned on a daily basis. There's no downtime.
So truly, the planet is hell.
It is. It's hotter than hell.
It's hotter than hell, and it's always New Year's Rockin' Eve.
Wow.
Every 18 minutes. So we would be very old if we lived
there. Yes.
Yes, actually, if you had to count birthdays, you would be. It's actually around a star that is older than the sun, so the planet is already older anyway, but then if you counted by birthdays by how many times you went around the sun, you would be older.
Plus, planets always tell you that they're younger than they actually are. You know that about planets.
That's the truth.
That's standard. All right, so...
But it's really actually very cool. So the method that was used to find this planet is one that's pretty pretty commonly used. It's called the transit method, where the planet passes in front of the star, blocks a little bit of the light from getting to us. So essentially, it casts a shadow on us.
Oh.
But this planet is actually so hot that in addition to casting that little shadow, the planet actually kind of goes through phases as it goes around from how much light it's reflecting and how much light it can actually glow out because it's hot enough and because we do think it has this molten surface.
Yeah.
So it's not for sure that we're seeing like lava from a planet, but that is one of the explanations for why instead of just getting a shadow from the dip in the light of the star as the planet blocks it, you're also getting a little bit of variation in how bright the whole thing is, and that can be because of this molten surface.
Speaking of hot surfaces, I saw on your Twitter feed there was a picture of the sun. Mm-hmm. You were zoomed way into it. It was so gorgeous. It was such a beautiful color.
Our sun is really very beautiful. That was taken with the Doane Observatory, which is our telescope out just behind the Adler. We have a little observatory that is typically on nice days. Unfortunately, it's a little cloudy today, but on nice days, it's open, and we put a special filter. Mm-hmm.
That's my question. Did you have a giant shoebox that the telescope is in order to view the sun? Because you're not supposed to look directly at it.
You're not supposed to look directly at it, but if you have different kinds of filters, you can not only can you look at the sun with a telescope, but you can also see special things about the sun. So that, I believe, was taken with what's called an H-alpha filter, which lets you see just one energy of light that comes from hydrogen. And that helps you see the details that are in the atmosphere of the sun, all these sort of loops and what we call filaments that are magnetic features on the surface of the sun that are actually what cause solar flares, and solar flares are what cause the aurora. So you can sort of see where the northern lights come from before they ever get here.
That's really cool.
With this new planet, now the sun is essentially it's a ball of fire. This new planet that we're discussing, even with the molten lava, that can't be as hot as the sun, can it?
No, it's not as hot as the sun, but this planet is quite hot. So the sun itself is several thousand degrees hotter, and it's also instead of thinking of it as like a ball of fire, it's not easier, but maybe more correct to think of it as a gravity-bound fusion reactor. So it's basically a constant.
You were just thinking that, weren't you?
That's what I don't even call
That's
it the sun.
Meant.
Normally, I call it that.
I mean, it's basically just like fusion in the center of the star that is pushing outward, and the gravity of the star, because it's made of so much stuff, is holding it in. But that shining is generated from the fusion. So this planet is several thousand degrees, but it's still cooler than the sun.
It is.
And it's sort of glowing like a charcoal briquette would be glowing.
Yeah. And it's not the heat. It's the humidity, right? Isn't it?
I bet it's a very dry heat.
It's probably a dry heat. Yeah. And you said it's one of a system of five planets. They all share those same characteristics, obviously, don't they? Or similar?
Well, they're all different distances from the sun. So some of them, their sun, excuse me, the star 55 Cancri. So they can
Wendy's showing me a picture of a tangerine for some reason.
That's I'm not sure.
That's
that
our
is
sun.
Oh, okay. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that is. The detail's amazing.
Yeah, anytime it's nice out, we usually have solar telescopes out so people can come down. If you come to Adler after dark, we can show you stuff at night. But even when the planetarium is open during the day, you can still sometimes see.
I cut you off on the five planets. They're all different distances.
Yeah, so they're all different distances, which means that they're all likely to be different temperatures on their surfaces. Just like in our solar system, the planets all have different temperatures, in part because of their atmospheres, but mostly actually because of how much energy they get from our sun.
Okay.
All right. I'm looking at the sun picture, and it looks like someone took a knife and stabbed it. Is that the atmosphere around the sun? Is it like a sunspot? Is there damage to our sun?
So what Wendy is referring to are these sort of stripey and loopy things that appear on the surface of the sun.
Didn't they do mornings?
Stripey and loopy were here for a while. Yeah. They're funny.
So what you're actually seeing is the shadow of a structure that's over the surface. So it's almost like you can think of it as like a bridge, like an actual structure that's over the surface of the sun that's actually made up of magnetic plasma like the rest of the sun. But it creates these loopy structures in the outer portion of the sun that when they snap and break, they have some tension, kind of like a rubber band would.
Yeah.
That's what causes solar flares.
That is, I'm sorry, science is really kick-ass.
You've
I can't
said
help
that
but agree.
You've said that yourself. We're going to talk more with Lucianne Walkowitz in just a little bit about astronomy and science. And if you want to jump in, 312-981-7200 is the way to play it. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Lucianne Walkowitz is here, astrophysicist. She's with the,
that was the craziest rejoin ever.
Wasn't that a strange rejoin? She's with the Adler Planetarium, where she serves as an astronomer. And I think the best thing about you, Lucianne, is that you come here and Wendy and I pepper you with questions and you don't roll your eyes at us and walk out, because I would. I'm shocked you stay, but you do. So good for you. We wanted to talk to you a little bit about something, and this couldn't be more new. This is the laser cloak. What is the laser cloak, and where can we get one?
Well, you can't actually. They're not commercially available yet.
Oh, man.
So this is this cool idea that was came up with just about yesterday, I guess the paper came out. Two astronomers at Columbia University came up with this idea that if you were a habitable planet, so let's say you're an alien planet kind of similar to Earth, you know about this method of detecting planets called transits. So we talked about that just a moment ago. That's where the planet passes in front of the star and blocks a little bit of the light. You've seen this happen. If anybody has ever gotten up in front of you in a movie and blocked part of the screen, mm-hmm. same idea.
Mm-hmm.
So what they pointed out is that if you were an alien planet and you didn't want anyone to find you,
mm-hmm.
what you could do is actually disguise that you were there. So you would know if you were significantly advanced, you know, at least, okay, so at least it is as advanced as Earth civilization.
Yeah.
Take that however
so
you wish.
Fairly primitive. Fairly.
In certain areas.
Right.
So you would know that this method of detecting planets exists, that you could use their shadows, these little dips in the light, to find planets around other stars. So what you could do is actually use lasers to emit extra light at a particular time that would block the shadow from being seen by another planet.
Oh, interesting.
And it's actually, they work mm-hmm. out in the paper kind of what lasers you would need and like when you would do it and what the optimal like distribution on the actual globe of this, you know, alien world would be. And it's actually pretty like energetically cheap to do. So, you know, lots of other ideas have been out there for, you know, how would you broadcast that you existed? Like, would you build, you know, people have looked for like Dyson spheres, which are like large scale engineering products around projects around other planets. Or, you know, how would you signal to other worlds that you were there? But what they're pointing out is that you could actually use lasers to relatively cheaply disguise that you were there at all. And you could either do this by blocking other worlds' abilities to see the transit at all, or you could do something with, which I think is even more clever, which is that one of the things that we do as astronomers is we try to figure out what the atmospheres of planets are made of. And mm-hmm. we use this by using some light from the star to shine through that planet's atmosphere, and it just absorbs out like a chemical fingerprint
mm-hmm.
In the energies of light that it absorbs. And we can turn that into knowledge of what atoms and molecules have to be there to absorb that light.
Right.
If you were to emit light at those same energies, you could actually disguise that whether those atoms or molecules are there. And the reason that that's significant is that you could hide that there was the presence of life on yeah. the planet. So, you know,
that's a dirty trick. We can't.
Right?
Isn't that illegal in the National Atmospheric Law Review?
Well, I read that paper and I was like, oh, man.
Starfleet is on board with this, because I can't see Starfleet okaying this.
But doesn't that seem like if we're trying to find other life out there, but we want to hide our own? Don't you think if there is life out there, they already know we exist?
Well, this isn't something, I mean, Earth could potentially do this, but the idea was, what if other worlds are actually doing this?
Yeah.
And I thought, oh man, if they figured this out, we are so hosed.
Yeah.
Yes, we are.
But that's a really interesting like philosophical question, right? Like, what they've worked out is that it's totally like fine. You could do this with existing technology. Every other means of either hiding or broadcasting the sign of intelligent life or a habitable planet is usually technology that would be very expensive and or we don't have.
Right.
So things like Dyson spheres, you know, which are energy harvesting, like huge mechanisms around the star, we don't have the ability to build that. That's really hard. Putting a bunch of lasers around the planet is not hard. Actually, we do it all the time. We use lasers when we use telescopes, actually, to correct for the effect of the atmosphere and get a sharper image.
Yeah.
It's called adaptive optics. So this is something that you could do with existing technology. But the real, you know, the thing that I came to was like, okay, so we could do this. So why don't we?
Yeah.
You know, what is it about us that, you know, says like, well, if we could hide that we were there, nobody is really calling for us to hide that we're here. Except yeah, no. maybe Stephen Hawking is very afraid that aliens are going to come and
harvest
us. He
has said that
us.
On more than one occasion.
Well,
yeah, that's come up.
When we talked to Buzz Aldrin, remember, I had to ask him if he believed in life out there. And he pretty much said, yes, he doesn't know what or to what extent, but yes, he does. I do.
Yeah.
Is it because I want to believe, Mulder?
Oh, sure.
I don't know.
That's the reason you got into this business, right? You want to believe we're not the only ones.
Oh, yeah.
My
housemate made me a vest with a back patch that has the X-Files I want to believe on the back of it for my birthday this year. It's great.
That's outstanding.
Well, with the schools on strike today, why don't you go to the Adler Planetarium, something to do, and you never think about going. It's right here in our own city. It's a lot of fun, and you can run into Lucianne Wachowicz. That'd be great.
Come down anytime.
Thank you for being here.
Yeah,
thanks
for
having me. We appreciate it. We're going to take a quick break. We'll find out what's coming up on the Wintrust Business Lunch in just a bit. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.